Okay, everybody. Good evening. Thank you all so much for coming. I always appreciate to have the opportunity to say over some Divrei Torah on the Bo Bayom of the yard site of my father. And saying the Shir, Lili Nishmaso, his name was Yosef Nissan ben Yecheskel of Imari. And he died on Yud Nissan, Yosef Nissan. And I've been saying Baruch Hashem this year. This is the 12th yard site for my father. And for me, it's a bittersweet thing to say this year, but it also is a chance for me to give tremendous hakaras hatov to both my father and now, unfortunately, my mother, aleihem hashalom, that everything that I say is totally due to them, assuming I say it correctly. If I don't say it correctly, then it's totally my fault. But they certainly set me on the right path, and they did everything possible to allow me to be able to give a shiur like this. And I have infinite hakaras hatov to them, and especially tonight to my father. This shiur should be a aliyah to his wonderful neshama. I thank, of course, the Young Israel for co-sponsoring this, Congregation Anshei Chesed, and also a chance to always acknowledge and thank Rabbi Mordechai Yaffe Shlita from the Masifta Teres Yaakov, who's been here almost every year, for also co-sponsoring it. They have a big zchus in helping me raise my boys and even my son-in-law, and Baruch Hashem, we have Hakor Satov to that wonderful Mosad as well. So as you know, we've been going through the Haggadah. We started off from roughly the middle of the Haggadah, so we're going to get a chance to finish a little bit of the Haggadah tonight. We're not going to go beyond the second part of the first part of Hallel. So we're going to do B'tzeis Yisrael, and then we're going to go to Halach Ma'anya. So people will get a little chance to jump around a little bit. We usually try to go somewhat be'ion into it, but again, I always stress to people, any Torah that you say over at the Seder, it doesn't have to be on that particular paragraph that you're saying. It could be a general discussion. I actually asked the Shalom, you're allowed to talk Torah during the meal. You can also say over Divrei Torah during the meal, when people sometimes are a little bit less hungry, a little bit less kvetchy, and that's a wonderful time to say over Torah as well. And you're even allowed to say it over not at the Seder. So you have lots of options to say over a Torah. You don't have to say, well, he said seven things on Halach Manya. It's going to take us forever to get through Halach Manya. You can say it in a totally different part of the Seder as well. So we'll start off. We had begun a little bit, for those that are keeping track, and I know some people actually told me, they reminded me where I was up to. I was very, very happy to see that people are paying that close attention. So we are up to B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. There are too many Haggadahs to tell you what page you're on, but this would be towards the end of Magid if you're trying to look inside in a Haggadah. Now, it's also very important to realize that we say Hallel all the time. So you can have in mind, not only during the Seder when we say this, but you can have in the time when you're saying Hallel on Shabbos, on the first day of Pesach, on the second day of Pesach, all Chol Hamoed and the last days of Pesach, we say B'tzeis Yisrael, say it many times in the year. So it's very important for people to understand what this paragraph is telling us. There's some very, very deep ideas over here. And the first one is that we'll discuss is Hayom Ra'ah Vayonos Hayarden Yisov Liochor. The Yam saw something. I have to say, what in the world is the Yam seeing over here? And then Vayonos, literally, it moved, it separated, it split. And then the Yarden, which has nothing to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim, but there was a similar nace that happened that the Yarden, that during the days of Yehoshua, Yisov Liochor, seemed to go backwards, flow in a different way. So the first obvious question that we have to talk about over here is, what in the world did the Yam see? Right? It says, again, very strange language, Hayom Ra'ah. So what did the Yam see? So many people are probably familiar with the first thing I'm going to say, and that is the Yam saw Yosef HaTzadik. That Yosef HaTzadik was able to overcome his natural desires, his taivos, with Eishes Potiphar. And the Yam saw that and said, well, if such a person is able to overcome his desires, so then I have to also overcome my, so to say, instructions to flow. And therefore, the Yam saw this concept that Yosef overcame his natural inclinations. So the Yam said, I will also overcome my natural inclinations to flow, and therefore I will no longer flow. That's very, very nice. And that's a beautiful explanation. I saw a Peladika Medrash, a Medrash Pli it's called, that says that the Yam saw a brisa that we say every single morning. Rabbi Yishmol Omer, Bishlosh Yisrael, Midos, Hatroi, Nidreshes, Bahem. Right? For the men that say korbanos, which hopefully is all the men here in the room, unfortunately it's not, but that's a separate discussion. We all should say the korbanos, and this is the end of the korbanos section, and this is a very important braisa that tells us that Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shloshes Rei Midos, there are 13 Midos that we learn out all of the dinim from the Torah. We can't do these things necessarily on our own. We need Chazal to tell us. We don't understand the drasha system so well. But there's some of the drasha system that we understand very well. And the first, or the easiest maybe one, is Kal V'Chomer. So we understand over here the concept of Kal V'Chomer. If something is like this, so certainly it's going to be like that. If this person is able to do this, and he's a relatively minor person, so certainly the major person should be able to do this. So again, it's a medrash pliya. What in the world are we saying over here that the yam saw something and now it was able to go and decide based on this kal v'chomer that the yam is going to split as well? It's a medrash pliya. The medrash, I read it to you, braisa de Rabbi Shmuel. It saw this braisa. And the Chidah brings down an understanding over here. He says, this is all Rachel Imenu. This is a reference to Rachel Imenu. And the Kal V'Chomer that they saw, that the Yam saw, so to say, the Sar that's in charge of the Yam. So here's the following Kal V'Chomer that the Yam said. Rachel Imenu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're giving the Jewish people a hard time because they worship Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim. Right? The Malachim said, I should split the Yam. The Malachim wanted to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Halolu Avodah Zarah. Each side is worshiping Avodah Zarah. How come you're killing the Mitzrayim and you're not letting the Jews get scot-free? What's going on over here? So Rachel Imenu, according to this Pleiadic and Medrash, goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, you can't forgive the Jewish people for a little Avodah Zarah. I gave up my husband. I gave up Yaakov Avinu and told the Simonim to my sister Leah. And therefore, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be kind to the Jewish people and not kill the Jewish people. The Yam said a Kal V'Chomer, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can forgive the Jewish people, so then I should also go against my natural inclinations and split. And that's what this Medrash Pliya says, the Yam saw. It's sort of Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel Omer B'Shloshes Rei Midos. Again, just a phenomenal explanation of what the Yam saw. So then we have the next words over there that are also, if you don't think about these things, we're so used to saying them, you don't appreciate that there's a huge question over here. Why is there a different verb that's used over here for the splitting of the Red Sea and the splitting of the Yarden? So I know if I write something, my wonderful wife will point out, oh, you used the same word twice. And she's very good. She's a wonderful editor and she helps me very, very much. So if my wife was editing this over here, she would say, oh, very, very good. You're switching around the verbs. It sounds better than saying the same word. The sea split, the sea split. You don't want to say the same thing twice. But that's not the way Chazal work. If there's the exact same message that needs to be given by the Yam and the exact same message that's given by the Yarden, then nobody would have any problem. David HaMelech, when he wrote Hallel, would not have had any problem whatsoever in saying Vayonas Hayarden, Vayonas Hayam. But I had no problem. So there's a message over here from the fact that it's two different words that are being used over here. So in the Masifta, I always mentioned that different Haggadahs that we've been using in the previous years. I've always been using the Seder Ha'aruch, which is a wonderful Haggadah, and I'm using the Beis Aaron Haggadah, which I've also, Beis Avraham, Beis Aaron Haggadah, which I've mentioned in the past, is written by a Holocaust a victim. He was killed in the ghettos and he was able to smuggle through the war. He wrote all his chidushim. He has multiple wonderful perushim. It's kedai just to give the sheer justice, say, over his name. The unbelievable zechus that he has, a phenomenal Haggadah. And in recent years, they came out with the Masifta Haggadah, which is also just filled with information. There's so much that you don't realize that there's so many things on that God that you don't even realize the question sometimes. You get so used to it. So he has this interesting question over here. Why the change in the words? He gives seven or eight answers. I'm only going to say four of them. So he says over here, why is the changing in the words? So he brings down from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says over here that there were two different nisim. Two different, splitting the Red Sea, splitting the Yarden. English sounds easy. They're the same exact thing. He says they're absolutely not the same thing. He says, when the Yam split in Mitzrayim, every body of water split on the entire world. So that's what it says over here. And it says, Hayom Ra Vayanos, every body of water split on the world. So if somebody was in a bathtub, taking a bath, all of a sudden, you know, two sides of the bathtub. Somebody's taking a ferry from Staten Island to Brooklyn, so all of a sudden there's this split in the ferry. I don't know if it went on dry ground or not. That's a nace that happened by the Yam Suf. That nace did not happen at the Yarden. He says, the Yarden, it says over here, Hayarden Yisov Liochar, only the Yarden, but nobody else split. So only the Yarden split. So that's why he has to use two different words over here. That's the Vilna Gaon's teretz. Sefer Toldos Ha'odom. So the Toldos Ha'odom writes over here also. So because the Yam is the one that did it, but all the other bodies of water also. We're focusing on the Yam, and as a side miracle, all the other bodies of water split as well. That's the Vilna Gaon's teretz. Toldos Ha'odom says also, similar idea, two different nisim over here. He says, the nes is as follows. By the Yam, he says, the waters split over here. Kivin shenifka, the waters split over here. The mayim had to go someplace. So the water went to one side, the other waters went to the other side. That's the nes at the Yam Suf. And the waters, therefore, nasu, the waters traveled. They went from here to there, from here to there. And the 12 paths, some say 13 paths, opened up. The miracle at the Yam Suf is just phenomenal. You could have a whole shiur just, I've given a whole shiur on this in the past, all the miracles that occurred at the Yam Suf. That every shevet had its own path. So Shech Tashlita always says, that's an idea, a paradigm for Jewish life. How come we have Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfard, Nusach Ari, Nusach Teiman? Why do we have so many different ways? There should be one way to daven. Right? And the others are wrong. So he says, that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set us up. There are 12 shvatim. Each shevet had its own path. Each shevet has to do its own thing. As long as they're going in the right direction, they're all traveling towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then, it's okay if we look a little different. We have different size yarmulkes, different hats, not hats. He says, that's part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Shevet Dan was not the same as Shevet Zevulun. So Hashem made a nace. He says it's kedai that every shevet, I want to demonstrate every shevet should have its own path. Machlok is whether it's 12 or 13 paths, whether the Kohanim had their own separate paths or they were incorporating shevet Levi. Again, beautiful, beautiful ideas. Many, many, many miracles that they walked through, the ground was dry. When the Mitzriah went through, it was muddy. If they needed a drink of water, so water, clear water poured out and they took what they wanted. They had a water fountain. Obviously has a puddle around the water fountain. No puddle around the water fountain. It dried up instantly. It didn't go into the ground. Didn't get them wet. It was clear. They could see through from one side to the other. If they wanted a fruit, they just picked the fruit off the water that went up like that. So again, phenomenal miracle after miracle. So that was the Yam. By the Yarden, you didn't have the same thing. The waters didn't split by the Yarden, the Toldos Ha'odom says. The water flowed upwards. It just kept on flowing. Didn't split, but it like it hit a dam. And instead of going this direction, it started to flow up. You have various commentators saying how high the water went up. But he said the Mayim went Lamala. Okay? And therefore, there's two different explanations over here. And that's why he says, by the Yarden, Yisov Liochar. It turned away and went up. So again, similar idea over here. Different explanations for the miracles. The Medrash Bechidush Hazro and Etuya. Again, it's a sefer I'm not familiar with, but the Masifta brings down many sefer I'm not familiar with, so that's fine. And he brings down the following idea. B'tchila lo rotzo hayam libaka. The water said, I'm not going by the Yam Suf. Ah, that's why we have the two explanations I gave you before. Hayam ra'ah, it saw Yosef, it saw Rachel, and then the Yam decided to split. That's why they had to say over here, hayam ra'ah, and then it fled by your nose. The Yarden said, I know this story already. I heard this story. I'm supposed to split for the Jewish people. So the Yarden didn't need to draw a Kal V'chomer. The Yarden didn't need to see something. He said, oh, the Jews are coming. I'm going to split, no problem. That's my job over here. He saw what happened to the Yarden, and therefore he just went Liochar. He didn't have to see anything. The Yarden didn't see. He saw Yahushua coming. I'm going to split, no problem. And the final answer is also two different Nisim over here. So a sefer called Hatov Dvorecha. And he says as follows. The Nes by Kriyas Yamsuf was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And listen to this Nes. This is a phenomenal explanation. The waters stood still. Nothing happened to the waters. Hashem made the ground grow up. The waters were still there, but all of a sudden, the earth rose. So now the Jewish people walk through on dry ground that rose up, and the waters around them all to the side. That was the Nes by the Yamsuf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodu ba'atzmo, he did this. Hashem took us out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that Nes. But the Yarden's not deep. So just HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's easier, so to say, Kaviyacha, just make the waters go in a different direction. The Yamsuf was deeper. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bigger Nes by lifting up the ground as opposed to turning the water away. Again, I never saw that idea. A phenomenal idea as well. Okay.
I like it better because it seemed to fit in with the idea that
we
saw in flight.
Okay.
So I saw the land raise up and
then
ran away.
Okay. I'm glad you like it. It's a great shot. It's a phenomenal shot. Okay. The Per Aaron adds an interesting idea about the idea of the Braisa with Rachel. So the Per Aaron brings down over here, interesting, it says, towards the end of that Hallel. So that's a reference to the bear of Miriam. He hit with the stick, Ha'ufri Hatsur, and Agamayim comes out. So he points out over here, the Sofei Tevos of Ha'ufri, the Yud, Hatsur, the Reish, Agam, the Mem, Mayim, the Mem, spells out Miriam. So he says there's an allusion to this Medrash over here and to this idea that Miriam plays a super role in the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf and in miracles with water in general. The bear Miriam is, of course, something that we acknowledge as the fundamental way that we had water during the entire time that we were in the desert. A phenomenal nes, and it came about in the schus of Miriam because of everything that she did. Okay. The Ruach HaDosha, which is one of the Perushim, again here in this wonderful Haggadah of the Beis Avram, Beis Aram. So the Ruach HaDosha, one of his Perushim, asked the following question. We all know how the Yam decided to split, right? We just talked a little bit about it. But there's a famous medrash, and then there's another famous medrash that seems to contradict it. So if I'd ask people, who was the first Jewish person to go into the Yamsuf that made the Yamsuf want to split? So Nachshon ben Aminadav. Okay. Anyone have any other answers? Shevet ben Yamin. Okay, so we often say, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Medrashim are allowed to contradict each other, even though it seemed to be one person had to go in. So he wants to reconcile based upon a number of sources. And it's actually, I found subsequently, there's a braisa that's a pleiadika braisa. There's one braisa that says over here that Klal Yisrael didn't want to go in, and Shevet Binyamin jumped in. There's another braisa that says Klal Yisrael didn't want to jump in, and neither did Shevet Binyamin want to jump in, and only until Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped in. Again, here the braisa is a direct contradiction, one to the other. So which one is it? So he wants to reconcile, which has always been a problem for me. You know, you like to have everything fit into a nice, neat package, and here it just doesn't fit in so well. But it does fit in so well. His perish over here, the Ruach HaDosha, aligns everything. It says there were two events that happened. Both Shevet Binyamin jumped in, and Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped in. And he brings down, there's a medrash that says that Shevet Binyamin threw stones at Nachshon ben Aminadav. That's another part of the medrash that people aren't familiar with. Why? So listen how he reconciles them. Again, all he has sources for this. I'm not going to read you the sources inside. But he says at first, Shevet Binyamin did jump in first, but they only went into the shallow part of the water, and then they got scared. The water was raging around them, and they got scared. And they pulled back. When Nachshon ben Aminadab said, Shevi ben Yamin is not going to go and create over here this huge Kiddush Hashem, I'm going to jump in. It was supposed to be Shevi ben Yamin's job. And Nachshon ben Aminadab stood back and said, I'm not going to jump in and take the mitzvah. We just had the Gemara in the Daf Yomi a few months ago that if you steal somebody's mitzvah, you got to pay him for it. Have a machlokis. If you steal somebody's kisu yadam, you have to cover up the blood when you do a shechting of chicken or certain other birds or chayos. You have to cover up the blood. If somebody else does that for you, you got to pay him $10. You got to pay him. If somebody jumps in and benches for you, it's 4 brachos. The Gemara has a discussion. Is it 10 bucks or 40 bucks? If we view it as 1 mitzvah or 4 brachos. So if somebody else steals your mitzvah, they're not allowed to do that. Nachshon ben Aminadab says, not my mitzvah to jump in over here. It's Shevi ben Yamin. And they went in, he stood back. Then they came out, said, oh, we're scared. They did go in, but then they were scared. So he jumped in, and the waters split. Shevi ben Yamin was so upset, they started to stone. Hey, you stole our mitzvah. We would have gone back in. We were scared. You know, like the water's cold. You put your foot in, and you come out. We would have gone back in. So that's why the Medrash says that they threw rocks at him. He says, I have a raya to this is all right. Who comes from Shevi ben Yamin? Shaul HaMelech. Who comes from Shevi Yehuda? From Nachshon ben Aminadab? David HaMelech. He said, because Shevi ben Yamin didn't reach their full potential, Shaul HaMelech never reached his full potential. And Shaul HaMelech only was the king, and one of his sons, Ishbosheth, for a short period of time. And that's the end of the lineage of the great, great, great Shaul HaMelech. He was a phenomenally great tzaddik. He was found lacking in some way by Chazal, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his lineage stopped. He's no longer Shaul HaMelech Ad Moshiach Tzidkenu. And instead, Nachshon ben Aminadab, who jumped in all the way, he carries forever the Malchus Beis David Ad Moshiach Tzidkenu. And therefore, he alludes to this in this Medrash over here. And that's why one Bryce says they jumped in, one Bryce said they didn't jump in. Because they did jump in, but they also didn't jump in. Not fully. And he reconciles everything in an absolutely beautiful fashion. In continuing in the words of the kapitel, he says, Hehorim rokdu chielim. The mountains danced like rams. Givos, the smaller mountains, kivnetzo, like the smaller sheep. So now we're going to go through a little bit of a discussion. Where in Tanakh do we find mountains dancing? Because it says that the mountains danced over here like sheep. Well, where do we find mountains dancing? Very, very good question. A Masai Rokdu Ahorim. Where do we find mountains ever dancing? So we have a number of answers again for this. The Radak, the Ramban, the Meiri, some people ask me to name sources for, not to go into the sources, but name the sources. So others as well, they all say, Hakavona leMatan Torah. At Matan Torah, the mountains were so excited that the mountains danced. And this ties in very nicely with another Medrash, that all the mountains were jostling for position. Give the Torah on me, give the Torah on me. In the Lilai Sinai, I didn't say boo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's the one that I want to give the Torah on. But it says all the mountains were excited. Rokdu chielim. That's the source where the mountains jumped and shook. And that's why it says Horim over here. Because all the other mountains as well, not just Har Sinai. If it was just Har Sinai, should have said Har, not Horim. That's the first teretz that he gives. Miri gives a different teretz. Miri comes back to Miriam, says the Be'er Shel Miriam. He says that was a stone, that was a rock, and that moved about with them in the midbar. Doesn't say we carried it. You don't find who is the Nosei Be'er Miriam. Doesn't say that anywhere. Be'er Miriam, the stone was a huge stone or rock, I don't know, and it traveled on its own. That's the Horim Rokdu Chielim that the Pasuk is referring to by David HaMelech over here in the Hallel. And the final answer is a famous answer as well. And this is also a Medrash, that when we went through Nachal Arnon, when we went through on our way to Eretz Yisrael, so they were lying in wait for us in the mountains. So we were passing through a plain in the middle. There was a mountain to the left, mountain to the right, and there were clefts and jutting out projections from the two mountains, and the enemies were hiding over there. And what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Anani HaKavod, and they moved the mountains. Roktu Chiyelim. And the projections went into the caves, and everybody was crushed, and there was a river flowing of blood that came out from that nace. He says that's what David HaMelech is referring to over here. Haharim Roktu Chiyelim. So that's this idea. He says, the Svarno brings down a different teretz. Svarno says over here, Harim means the high ones. It doesn't mean mountains, it means people. We refer sometimes to great people as mountains. And he says, this is the Melochim, this is referring to all the kings. All the Malchi Yumas Olam saw the nace of Yamsuf. Right? I just told you, all their bathtubs split. The king was sitting there in his pool, and it split in two. Or he heard that his kingdom, the waters were splitting, and they all knew it was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all the kings, he refers to as the Harim, so they all were jumping about Merov Pachdom. We know that the 31 Melachim in Eretz Yisrael, so they, last week's Parsha, Tazriah and Mitzorah, so they said, the Jews are coming, we better hide all of our stuff. So they hid it inside the walls. They didn't know that we were going to be delayed 40 years. So they were terrified that we were coming. Rachav tells us when they came into Yericho, he said, we all heard about you. We're all terrified of you. So that's the Harim Roktu Chiyelim. They were all running about like a chicken without a head, to mix allegories over here. So they were all referred to as mountains. They're jumping about, all the kings. And finally, the Zevach HaPesach says, it was a Nes B'toch Nes over here. He says, there were, you know, you see Jacques Cousteau, I'm dating myself a little bit, right? I think he's been nifted for a while. So they have the underwater, beautiful nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a beautiful world. So the ocean has mountains at the bottom of the ocean. So he said, that's the medrash that we talked about before. The mountains were pulled up. The mountains at the bottom of the Yamsuf, Haharim Roktu Chiyelim. Those are the mountains that we're talking about over here, that they danced like sheep over here. Okay. There's much more on it, but again, I'll try to give you a little bit not just spend it all on one word over here. Okay. Now we go to the last part of the Halal of Magid, and that's the bracha over there, Asher Go'alonu. So this is a very interesting bracha over here. And the question is, why do we need a bracha over here? What's the purpose over here in the Haggadah, the next part of the Haggadah? Everybody gets excited when they reach this part because you're about to drink wine. You're either at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, depending on your Seder. But you're thirsty, you're getting excited about the meal, the matzah. So everybody's excited about this bracha. What is this bracha doing over here? What is the purpose of this bracha? So again, the Rishonim have a number of different ideas over here what the purpose of this bracha is. So the Orchis Chaim, he brings down over here, it's also brought down by the Kalbo. He says, this is the equivalent, this bracha is the bracha equivalent to Purim and Chanukah, Sha'asa Nisim Lavo Seinu. Because they ask the question, how come we don't say Sha'asa Nisim Lavo Seinu? Doesn't get bigger, as great as the Nes of Chanukah was, as great as the Nes of Purim was, they pale in comparison to Kriyas Yamsuf, they pale in comparison to the Makos. So how come we don't say Shos and Nisa? We say it by Purim and Chanukah, Kal v'chomer. We should certainly say it by Pesach. He says, Chazal instituted it. This bracha, Asher Gilanu, is the bracha of Shos and Nisim. And so Birchas HaShevach. That's the first answer that he gives over here. Second teretz he brings down from the Shiboli HaLeket. He writes, this bracha over here is the bracha of Sipri Yitzias Mitzrayim. Everybody asks, how come we don't make a bracha at the beginning of Magid? We don't. Make a bracha before we eat the matzah, and bracha before we eat the maror, bracha before every one of the kosos. This is a mitzvah saseh daraisa. I spoke about it between Milchamaru. For, according to many poskim, it's a mitzvah saseh daraisa even for women. Certainly a mitzvah darabanan at least for women. Sipri Yitzias Mitzrayim. So how come we don't make a bracha? On every other mitzvah we make a bracha. So some suggest Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. That's the bracha of Magid. Others say, no, this is the bracha of Magid over here. There's only one problem. You're supposed to make a bracha over Lasi Yosin, before you do it. Isn't it the end? Sometimes in Shmoneh Esrei, so I'm in the middle of Sim Shalom. I say, you're supposed to have Kavanah during Shmoneh Esrei. So then you're supposed to have Kavanah during Shmoneh Esrei. No. Sometimes I don't catch it even by Sim Shalom. So I'm happy sometimes if I catch it by Sim Shalom, at least try to have Kavanah for the Shem Hashem, for other things. Sim Shalom is better late than ever. This is after the fact. You can't make a bracha after you finished eating. The halacha is, if you're eating a meal, you forgot to make a bracha rishona, as long as you still have food on your plate, you can still make the bracha rishona. After you're done eating, you can't say, whoops, I forgot to make a bracha rishona. You can't do it. There's nothing left to eat. So there's nothing left in Magid. We're done with Magid. How are you allowed to make a bracha? So he gives a very, very interesting teretz. He says, this is a birchas shevach v'hodah. But we have a mitzvah to start off with gnus. Maschilin b'gnus, m'saimin b'shevach. So we start off, avadim ayinu l'parah b'mitzrayim. So how do you make a bracha on that? So he says, you don't make a bracha on the gnus part. Now we're getting to the shevach v'hodah part. So now you make the bracha. No, it's still a kasha. Why you make it over here, not a little bit earlier? It's not kasha. I saw some suggest because for those that say halal in shul, so that's really the bracha as well on the shevach v'hodah. So that's why you don't really need a bracha over on shevach v'hodah. Okay. The kasha is sometimes better than the teretz. Finally, the last thing he brings down here is from the Rambam. The Rambam says, this is the bracha, is the chasima for halal. Now, we have halal after the meal as well. So he says you need a bracha on the end of halal. So normally we make a bracha on the end of halal, melchulah batish bachos, right? But we're not going to say that now. So he said, how do you not have a bracha at the end of halal? So he says, the rabbis instituted this as the bracha at the end of halal. He says, chosim, baruch, you have to have over here chasima. So that's his teretz over here. Now, the famous machlokis, Rabbi Bilit Shlita alluded to it in his Shabbos Hagadol drasha, both in previous years he had said this, and also he alluded to it in his drasha yesterday. And is this a bracha that is a long bracha, or is this a short bracha? What is the status of this bracha over here? So, he brings down over here the Mishnah Psachim. The machlokes over here, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Now, what's the difference between a short bracha and a long bracha? So a short bracha is, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shakon Yebed Varo. That's a short bracha. A long bracha is when you have the nusach of the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, and then you end it off, Baruch Atah Hashem, Rafei Chol Basor Mefli Lassos. It starts with a Baruch Atah Hashem. You have a long nusach in between, you got to say another Baruch Atah Hashem at the end. So that's a bracha kitzara, shakon yebivoro. It doesn't end with Baruch Atah Hashem al-Kenim al-Khalam, Baruch Atah Hashem, shakon yebivoro. Just, you go straight into the end. It's a short bracha and a long bracha. There's a big machlokis in the Gemara between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva over here. What's the nusach of this bracha? So we paskin, our Haggad, the paskin is like Rabbi Akiva. And it's a long bracha, and we say, therefore, a chasima to this bracha over here. And he says, the Rashbam and Tosus bring down over here. According to Rabbi Tarfon, it's a different type of a bracha. It's a bracha on the mitzvah. According to Rabbi Akiva, he says a bracha shevach v'yodah, and therefore it goes off into a whole other discussion over here, and that's why it has to end with a bracha of Hashem, and we paskin over here like Rabbi Akiva. And he also suggests that the first part of the bracha is hodah al ha'avar. That's what you did for us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the past, and we're thanking you for that. And he says the second part, Hasheni over here, is a bakosha on osid lovo. So if you look at the beautiful words over here, he tells us all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want him to do for us over here. He should, kain Hashem Elokeinu, Elokeinu Elokeinu, Yagienu lemoadim ulerugalim achayim. We should let us live to celebrate all the other holidays, etc. A whole bunch of other things over here. It says that's the second aspect over here. This bracha has two parts. One is thanking Hashem for the past, and the other one is requesting from Hashem or thanking Hashem for future things, the wonderful things that He's going to do for us over here. Now, in this bracha, it also has interesting words. Vihigianu lalaylo hazeh. Does it sound familiar? V'higiyanu, shachiyanu, v'kiyimanu, v'higiyanu. So some suggest that this is the bracha of Shechianu. But most of you, hopefully, are awake enough at the beginning of the Seder to know that we made a Shechianu already. Right? You make a Shechianu on Kiddush. Right? This year we have Yaknahaz. We'll have an opportunity on the second night. A whole order, extra things over here. So he wants to suggest over here that the first Shechianu that we made over here is on the Yom. And the second Shechianu over here is on the Matzah and the Maror. So he wants to suggest there's two aspects over here. One is on the day, and now Kiddush is on the day. And now you have to make a separate Shechianu. And he says that's this bracha over here is a preemptive, so to say, Shechianu. Yeah, very interesting idea. In this bracha, it says, again, some strange wording. We're so used to the nusach, we sometimes don't realize how strange the wording is. He says, Yagienu lemoadim ulirigolim acherim. So what exactly is that? The regolim and moadim. The regolim are the moadim. So what is going on? You want to reach us to the regel, you want to reach us to the yomim tovim, and you want to let us reach the yomim tovim. So again, it's very, very funny lashon, very strange usage of the words here. So the Abu Dram brings down, he says, normally over here, the regalim and the muadim are the same. But here we want to allude to the fact that we're Nebuchadnezzar. There's a mitzvah of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot that we can accomplish here in Golus. But it's not Aliyas Regel. Even if you're Baruch Hashem able to celebrate the Yom Tovim in Eretz Yisrael, you should all be Zochet to do so. It's not the same as Aliyas Regel. Even if you're in Yerushalayim, on Sukkot, where it's phenomenal. See hundreds of thousands of people walking in the streets with the Lulav and Esrog. It's not Aliyas Regel. It's Moed. A wonderful, wonderful Yontif. We're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not satisfied with just having Yerushalayim as it is today, which is a wonderful, phenomenal thing. Some allude at the end of the bracha, we say also, at the end of Holach Ma'anya, we say that this year here in Eretz Yisrael, and then we say also we should be free people. So some suggest it's the same idea, that we should be free people. We're free people right now, but we don't have Eretz Yisrael in the full extent, even though we have Eretz Yisrael to a certain extent, but not to the fullest extent. And therefore, we're davening over here, we're asking Hashem, we're not satisfied. Our ancestors 75 years ago would have been thrilled and satisfied to have Medinas Yisrael. And we are too. But we can't be satisfied with just having Medinas Yisrael. We need to have Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash. And he's alluding to that over here. He says, L'mo'adim u'l'rigolim. We want the Mo'adim. Let us live, Be'ezus Hashem, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot for many, many, many years. But we also want it to be Aliyas Regel. We want to walk up to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the full benefit, if you wish, of the concept over here of Moadim and Regolim. Final point over here that I have. He points out is a difference between Sason and Simcha, right? We say, Haboim lekwasenu l'shalom smeichin bevinyan irecha v'sosin b'avodusecha. Simcha and Sason, right? In English, happiness, gladness, not much of a difference. If I say I'm very happy, I say I'm very glad, there's no diuk in my lashon, right? If I ask 10 people that, I just got, a $10 lottery ticket that they won, I'm happy, I'm glad. There's no diuk in the words. Chazal, every word has importance to it. The Vilna Gaon says over here, Simcha is on what he calls his chadshus dovor, a new idea. A person gets simcha with a new idea. Sason, when you complete something, gemar dovor. So simcha over here, he says over here, l'shalom smechem bevinyan irecha. Oh, we're thrilled over here. We have a new city. Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. Ah, that's a simcha. Sosim b'avodasecha, when you complete something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked you to do, that's soso. Two beautiful but different ideas. There's simcha with something new. And there's soso when you've worked hard to complete something yourself. It may not be so, it's just simcha for anybody else. Right? Somebody builds a little cabinet. Right? So everybody says, oh, very nice. You built a little cabinet. You built it with your own hands. That's sasa. Simcha is if you win a lottery and they give you this fancy $5,000 cabinet. That's simcha versus sasa. We should have both of them. That's what the Vilna Gaon alludes to over here with this idea. Okay. So now, a little bit of time that we have left, we'll try to start Halach Ma'anya. So before we can start Halach Ma'anya, we have to understand the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's really a little bit backwards here. We always start off with the concept of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Well, today we'll start off towards the end of the shir. We're almost done. So he brings down over here, again, I stress this, and this I give, again, tremendous Hakaras HaTov to my father for giving me such a love for the Pesach Haggadah. Out of all the davenings that we have, out of all the svarim we have, I have a special affinity to the Haggadah, and it's directly from my youth where we had such pleasant sedarim in our house. It weren't very fancy. It weren't with huge numbers of people. We had, I remember we had certain almanas at our house and some other visitors at our house sometimes. But I would say my Seder was arguably no different than any other sedarim, but just the sense that I had for my father and mother, Aleihem HaShalom, how much importance they gave to the Seder. And they didn't say it. My father was not sitting at the Seder saying over Divrei Torah. He was never a Holocaust survivor. He never really went to yeshiva. He had a little cheder till he was 13, 14. He wasn't immersed in Torah knowledge other than what he picked up from going always to shiurim whenever he could, listening to shiurim. And my mother was an Auschwitz survivor. She didn't have a Rebbe either. She used to sit under the table, and her father would fahar her younger brother, and she was very smart. She knew the answers. She would tell them the answers, and they would share the candy that he would give to her afterwards. But they weren't saying over huge Divrei Torah at the table. I can't tell you too many things I remember, specific Dvar Torahs that my father and mother said over at the table. But I can tell you the love and the enthusiasm and the excitement for Pesach, and that, I forgot the Dvar Torahs I heard from most of my Rebbeim already, but the excitement that I saw at the Seder, that I'll never forget. So that's what I remember, and that's what you're supposed to do. That's the mitzvah over here. You must say the Seder out loud. You must say it in a Socratic method, all for the purpose of exciting the children. It's very important. The children should be given a chance to ask questions. Now, when the children come home with textbooks filled with questions and answers, and all they're doing is saying the question and answers, it's actually questionable whether that's really the mitzvah of Magid. But certainly they should be given ample opportunity to ask their questions, and hopefully the adults at the table can comment or point out, or at least just show them the love and explain something or ask further questions on them to spark a discussion. And that's based upon Vigadatu Labincha Vayomaho. The mitzvah is that you got to tell it over to your children. And the rabbi said the best way for a child to remember something is to have him ask questions and for you to give him the answers. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah brings down it's wrong to have the children say Manishtana and then go right to sleep. At least let him stay up for Avadim Hayinu. At least give him a little bit of an answer to their question. If they're just really cute, you give them a knipple on the cheek and then you send them off to bed with the candy. So then that may be nice, but that's not the mitzvah. You got to go to Labincha. As they get older, certainly there should be more involvement on the parent side. That's the point of having a shiur like this, is that the parents should be prepared as well. You can't go into the Seder cold. You have to spend time reading something. Read whatever Haggadah you like, in English, Hebrew, whatever language you feel comfortable with, so you can say something at the Seder. What is the difference between the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim at the Seder versus the mitzvah of Sipur of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we have every day? You're supposed to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every morning in Shema and every evening in Shema. So why is the Seder different? So the Mefarshim point out that here the mitzvah is, and I know some members of my family will not always like this, L'saper ba'arichus u'beharchava, long sedarim, with depth and excitement and interest and making it pleasant. Laharbos besipra nisiv and iflaos, to tell over the amazing agaditas that we have, to tell over our phenomenal stories, which, whether they're all literal or not literal, is irrelevant. They're agaditas. They're phenomenal stories. They excited me as a kid. I hope they excite other people. They're phenomenal stories. People spend all their time reading Aesop's fables and Roman mythology and stuff like that because it's interesting. Ah, Chazal, Havdalel of Havdalos is so much more exciting and interesting. Half of their fables, they stole from our Chazal. Every now and then you read a fable, say, that's a Chazal. Many of them, they stole from us. In any event, so he says, Behavona Amuka. You have to understand it. And my wife, to a great credit, we read parts of the Haggadah in English. That wasn't a tradition that I grew up with. But you're supposed to read the Haggadah in English. If people don't understand the Haggadah, just to daven the words, waste of time. You get no credit if you daven the Haggadah. It's not a tefillah. So if you don't understand something, say it in Hebrew. We are supposed to say it in Hebrew. You're supposed to say it in a raised voice. But translating into English is fine. At least understand what the basic ideas are. That's part of the chiyuv over here. Chasam Sofer adds over here, you're not Yotze Behirur. If you're just thinking it. Right? Somebody's saying something, I'm just going to read my Haggadah. So that's really not Yotze fully the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, you should speak it out. Beleil Haseid Mechuyv L'Saper. Every other night, if you spend 6 hours looking in a Sefer and don't open your mouth, you get 6 hours of credit of learning and you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Zikaron of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. You sit with the Sefer by yourself 6 hours, beautiful the rest of the year, not on the Seder night. Chasam Sofer. He says the rest of the year, you say it to yourself, it's fine. Here you have Bedavka mitzvah to say it over to your children and make sure that for age appropriate and ability appropriate, not every 8-year-old is the same, not every 18-year-old is the same, and not every 45-year-old is the same. And to make it appropriate for every single person that's there at the table. The brought down the name of Chaim Kanievsky over here. He says there's three aspects to this mitzvah over here. He says, number one, the Shelo Tshuva, the Socratic method over here. He says that's an essential way that Chazal said that we should do this, which we don't have to do the rest of the year. Rest of the year, you want to give a lecture? You give a lecture. Nobody has to ask any questions. On the Seder night, it should be questions and answers. That's number one, what Chaim says. He says, you have an obligation over here, Lehaskel Bignus Ulesayim B'Shevach. Rest of the year, you can just say the good parts. Here you have to say the bad parts. That's part of the Seder, to start off with the Gnus and to end with the Shevach. And finally, he says over here, you must say over the Tamei HaMitzvos. Essential part of the mitzvah is, as we say, in the Leil Omer, somebody didn't say Pesach Matzah Marah, he's not Yotze this mitzvah in its proper way. And that means that you have to explain those. Those parts should absolutely be read in English if people don't understand them, or at least explained outside. I think most people, Baruch Hashem, know this, but some people at a Seder may not be have a background, or for whatever the reason, they don't know this. So it brings down that you absolutely must say this over here. It's critical that you mention this to everybody. And he says, L'kol ha'pachos, this is what Chaim Kanievsky says, the minimal amount over here, L'farish tam mitzos elu ha'mufurashim b'Torah, to say over the things that are mentioned as mitzvahs from the Torah, so everybody should understand, why in the world are we having matzah? Why in the world are we having marah? Those are essentials to be yotzei in the Seder, according to Rav Chaim. The Seder Aruch brings down over here another reason why we bedavka raise our voices. You specifically have to raise your voices over here. And he says this is based upon the concept of Lechem Oni. We won't get to it tonight. Mitzvah Shem will have something to come back to for next year. Lechem Oni, there are a number of reasons what it means that it's the bread of Oni. So it's quickly, there are three different things. Either the bread of affliction, as it's called, or the bread of the poor person. And here, Dvarim she'onim alav, lechem she'onim alav, dvarim harbe. That when the matzah is out, that's why we uncover the matzahs a lot of the time. So the matzahs, so to say, are present, and we should say lots of Torah with the matzahs present over there. So it's lechem oni. So he brings down that therefore you must say it out loud. He says the definition of lechem oni, it must be b'kol rom. You're not going to be yotze lechem oni, at least according to this aspect of Lechem Oni, unless you say it out loud. And he says, this is a Rashi in the Parsha of Bikurim, that says, V'yonisa v'yamarta. So it says over there, you must say out loud the Bikurim. If a person just thinks when he brings the Bikurim, oh, God command me to bring the Bikurim, I have to bring the Bikurim, I'm doing everything right, and all he does is think it, not fully Yotze. V'yonisa v'yamarta, you must say it out loud. And that Rashi is brought down over here to say the same thing, but a Seder, if you don't say it out loud, if you don't say it, Baharomas Kol, so therefore, you're not Yotze. And that's an interesting discussion. Should you or should you not repeat Manish Tana after the kids say it? So my family's minhag always was that the youngest child, or depending on the age, could have a couple of youngest children saying it. Anybody that wants to say it was always allowed to say it until you got too big and too important to say the Manish Tana. Oh, it's a little sister has to say that. So then our minhag was that we always read it over everybody. And I think that minhag was based upon this idea. You have to say it out loud. That's part of the Seder. Everybody should say the entire Seder out loud as best as possible. That's the fulfillment over here. And he adds on a beautiful idea. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Vayishma Hashem es kolenu. He heard our voices. He wants to hear our voices. He wants to hear our voices in davening. He wants to hear our voices in learning. He wants to hear our voices in chesed. He wants to hear our voices in a positive way. And therefore, v'yoniso lechem oni, it should be done over here in a loud voice. So, v'yishma Hashem es kolenu. A beautiful idea. I will conclude. I always like to conclude with gematrius. So, we'll conclude with three phenomenal gematrius from the Pe'er Aaron. So, he brings down over here. This is to give us a taste for Holach Ma'anya. I thought we'd get to Holach Ma'anya tonight. Yitz Hashem, I always have a little bit too much prepared, Baruch Hashem, and always something ready for next year. So the next part over here, if we finish talking about the introduction to the Seder and the importance of Magid, is Holach Ma'anya. So the first gematria he brings down is over here, is why is this in Aramaic? And he says again, the whole essence of Pesach is Mida Kineged Mida. Vayishma Yisro. What did Yisro hear? He heard about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated Paro Mida Kineged Mida. You did this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that. Everything is exactly measured and appropriate. Every one of the Eser Makos, we've gone through that in previous years, what each one represented. Because Paro bathed in Jewish blood, so the first Mako of blood, etc., etc., etc. So listen to this phenomenal idea. Brings down from the Chida. Chida, a prolific writer from 200 years ago, wrote, I think, 80 Svarim. Phenomenal Svaradi, great Chacham. And the Chida writes over here, why is it in Aramaic over here? So the Pe'er Aaron brings this down, and he says, because Yaakov Avinu caused there to be Aramaic words in the Torah. Where are there Aramaic words in the Torah? Yegar Sahadusa. Very good. Yaakov Korlo Gal Eid. So there are certain Aramaic words that are in the Torah. And that to a certain level was inappropriate, that Yaakov caused there to be Aramaic words in the Torah. And therefore, on his level, the Midrash says that caused Galus Mitzrayim. Because we took away from Lashon Kodesh and there were some Aramaic words in the Torah, that was on Yaakov's Madrega, something that he caused inappropriate, and he was held accountable, Mida Kineged Mida. He caused Aramaic words in the Torah. So to correct that over here, we have this concept that they're Aramaic words over here, Halach Ma'anya. And the Gematria of Yegar Sahadusa, which comes out to 929 people, I check these Gematrias out. I never tell over Gematrias that don't work out. So Yegar Sahadusa is 929, Da Galusa Mitzrayim. Is 929. Chida. Second gematria over here. This is a little bit more known, but if you never heard this before, we say Halach Ma'anya. So Lach Ma'anya in gematria over here, 210, Redu, the 210 years of servitude that we had in Mitzrayim. So this Lach Ma'anya, the bread of affliction, is connected to 210 years of servitude. And finally, we'll conclude this year tonight. He says that there's another interesting gematria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down with us in Mitzrayim. We're not there alone. In Auschwitz, we weren't alone. My father lived through Kristallnacht. He wasn't alone. All the people in this room have relatives, people that they know that lived through the most horrific things. That generation is unfortunately dying out. They should all have Arichas Yomim V'Shanim. They should see us bring Mashiach Tzidkenu. All the horrible things that they saw also were seen in previous generations. And we have a concept that's stated in Bereishis, Yaakov is told, Anochi ered imcha. I will go down with you into Mitzrayim. Okay? Mitzrayma. Anochi ered imcha Mitzrayma. The gematria of Mitzrayma is Shechina. 385. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us in the greatest tzaros. Hashem, so to say, is also in slavery. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel is also in the horrific situations he sometimes puts us into. But I said over this gematria on Shabbos morning, another leave you with this last gematria we had from this week's Haftorah in Shabbos HaGadol. So it says the gematria of Elokim is 86. And the Navi always uses the expression Ani Hashem. Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Ani Hashem is 87. Because Hashem is the Midah of Rachamim. Yud Kei Vav Kei is the Midah of Rachamim. Elokim is the Midas Hadin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu always has one more in Midas Rachamim for us than he has in Midas Hadin. That's also from the Chidah. Yezus Hashem, we should all have a wonderful, happy Siddurim. Yezus Hashem, it's not too late. We should all be Regolim. We should all be in Eretz Yisrael, Aliyas Regel, Demhera B'Yameinu. I'm going to say a Kaddish. Tonight is Bo Bayom, so Rabbi Hanani Menakashim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos, Yisrael.